Okay, so the title this morning is Bekesha or Dreams in Yonim of Chukas Hagoy. A person once wanted to tell to me that the MS, the real Jewish levush nowadays, is not a shlaim or a Bekesha, but in fact is a pair of jeans. I said, how could such a thing be? He said, no, Levi's. Levi's, no, the lazy, no? So it should be the Yiddish levush, right? So the MS is, we have in this week's parsha, in Perek Yud Ches, Pesukim Aleph Tegimel, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer, Dabro B'nei Yisrael V'amartu Aleim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Kamase Eretz Mitzrayim, the actions, like the actions of the Egyptians, Asher Yishavtem Bo, Lo Yisasu, you shouldn't do, Uchamase Eretz Kanaan, Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shomo, Lo Yisasu, and you shouldn't do the actions of the Kanaanim, the Kanaanites, you shouldn't do those, Uchukaisehem, Lo Yiseleichu, and you should not go in their chukim. And then later in Perek Chaf Pasuk Chaf Gimel, we also have Veloy Seilchu B'Chukei Sagoy, Asher Ani Meshalech Mipneichem. You shouldn't go in the Chukim, in the statutes of the Gentiles, Asher Ani Meshalech Mipneichem, which I am sending out from before you. Ki Eskol Eila Osu V'Okutz Bom, because they did certain actions, and I was sickened in them, and therefore you shouldn't do the Chukei Sagoy. So we have a number of issues over here. Which goyim are we talking about? Which chukim are we talking about? What are the various different circumstances? What's the halacha? So we're going to discuss today some of the inyonim. I say as a bit of a caveat that my intention is not to come and give sokim. My intention is to come and to speak through the sugya. Avar Hashem, you all have your own local orthodox, and you can get any final lines from them. Okay, so which goyim are we talking about? The Torah tells us, Kamase Eretz Mitzrayim, Kamase Eretz Mitzrayim, Kamase Eretz Kanaan. Is it just the Mitzrayim and the Kanaanim? If the Egyptians had a certain way of life, we have to avoid that, and the ancient Kanaanim as well. Is this what we're supposed to be avoiding? So in fact, the Urayim says in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel that the Mitzvah Chukas Hagoy only applies to people who came from Eretz Mitzrayim and the ancient Kanaanim. These had very bad behavior, very immoral behavior, very hedonistic behavior, incredibly pagan, and therefore it is these nations that we're supposed to avoid. The Chinuch, though, in Mitzvah Reish Tamach Beis says Kol Ha'amim Ovdei Olilim. He broadens it out, and he says any nations who are idol worshippers we should not follow. If they are not idol worshipping nations, then that would be okay. And the Rambam is the most extreme shitta, and he says in Hilchas Avodas Kechovim, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, that all of the Umos Ta'olam were included. And I quote from the Rambam, Ein Horochim B'chukas Agoyim V'lo Medamin Lohen. You shouldn't go in their ways, you shouldn't try and make yourself similar to them. Lo B'malbush, not in clothes, Lo B'seyam, not in hair, Tiotpen, and other similar ways. Shenema V'lo Selchu B'chukas Agoy, V'nema B'chistem Lo Yiseleichu, V'nema Heshom Alachol Pen Tinoke Shachareyam, lest you stumble after them. Hakoyol B'inin Echol Tumaz Here. We shouldn't be like the Umas Ha'olam. We're supposed to be separate from them. We're supposed to be mitzionim. We're supposed to stand out, not just in our actions, but also in our dress. In the same way as intellectually, in the same way as we have different opinions, we have different deus to them. So too, we have to actually look different. We have to act different from the Umas Ha'olam. Asher Bochar Bonim Mikolam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen us to be his Am Segula. He's given us the most tremendous privilege. He's raised us up from the nations of the world. So we're supposed to do whatever we can to be different from them. So these are the nations. According to the Rambam, it's clearly all of the nations. We have to be separate. We have to be Muvdol, in the words of the Rambam. Okay. Which Chukim are involved? So we see so far there's a three-way machlokes which goyim are involved, right? The Urim, the Chinuch, and the Rambam. Is it Shiva Ta'amim and Eretz Mitzrayim? Is it all idol worshippers, or is it all of the Umayyads? Now, which chukim are involved? Which actions are we speaking about over here? There's again a three-way machlokes. The Urim says that it's only their religious actions and clothes which we have to avoid. So next time you go into a shul, if you see a person wearing a lovely big cross, lovely big medallion with a cross on it, then you say, ah, right, so this would be also even according to the Urim, right? Because the cross comes from their religious practices of the Umas Ha'olam. So according to the, even according to the Urayim, for sure a cross would be offered to wear. Only their religious actions and practices. The Rambam, as we've seen, says all of their chukim and minhagim are included. We have to be as different as possible, and we'll have to qualify that later. And the Meiri is a halfway house. The Meiri in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis, says really, min ha-Torah, it's like the Urayim. Min ha-Torah, it's only their religious practices which we have to avoid. But Midrabbonon, really, there are many, many other things involved, and Midrabbonon, we have to be separate from them. So, Lamaisa, what's the halacha? How are we supposed to act? So, there's a fascinating Ramah in Yoredei Kuf Ayin Ches, which goes through the Inyan. And basically, there are two schools of thought when it comes to Chukas Hagoy Lamaisa. There's the Ramah. And as well as that, there's the Vilna Goyin in the Biyuri Hagro there in Simon Kufayin Ches. I've seen these two shittas quoted and elucidated in Simon Pealof in Igris Moshe, Chelek Yeridea Aleph. So if we have a look over here, if we have a look at the sheet which I brought, we'll see these shittas quoted. Now in this tshuva over here, Ramosha Feinstein is writing in 1953 in Toshin Yud Gimel, and he's been asked by someone, Rav Binyamin Tzuka, he's been asked what to do. He says there are many people, all of the immigrants who've come from Poland, from Russia, from Lithuania, from the Haim, they've all gone to America, and in the Haim they used to wear what's known as the Yiddish Levush. They used to wear their Shtreimelach, or they used to wear certain hats, they used to wear their Bekishes, their Kapotas. There used to be a certain Levush, Weiss Zocken for some, Schwarz Zocken for others. There used to be a certain Levush, a certain way of dress. And this Rabbi Yonah Tzuka asked Rabbi Moshe, now that people are coming to America, so are people allowed to change that mode of dress? Are they allowed to now dress like a regular Americanisha? Are they allowed to cut off the bottom of their kapota? Are they allowed to wear a normal jacket, normal trousers, a hat of the time? Are they allowed to do that? So Moshe Feinstein goes through this tshuva, and we'll join him where I've written a number two. Hinei shittas maharik. Right. So first of all, he brings the shittas of the maharik. He's first going through the Ramah, and the Ramah is the opinion of the Ramah seems to be based upon a composite of the maharik and the Ran. The Maharik was Rav Yosef Kolon, who lived in the 15th century. Of course, the Ran Rabbeinu Nissim, who lived in the 4th century. So, where I've written point number two. There are some more sheets on the Bema. Hine shittas Maharik, b'sherish peiches, she'elek shum din, sh'nitzarech l'ulbish b'godim acherim me'anochrim. We don't have to go out of our way to dress differently from the Gentiles. B'rak im levishas hanochrim, who treats us v'derech gaiva, he starts off by saying that it's only offer to emulate the dress of the Goyim if that dress is derech tzitzis and gaiva. Is it something which is maybe which is inappropriate because it has tzitzis, it's evocative, or whether there's gaiva over here? This is a haughty style of dress, and the Yidden didn't dress as Goy. So then that would be the first time we have to say, oh, this could be chukas hagoy. The chen imhu b'loy shum tam v'teirach el alachik hevel v'shus. The second time where we find that it could be problematic because of chukas hagoy is when he says that b'loy shum tam v'teirach el alachik hevel v'shus. The action that they're doing seems to have no reason behind it. It's a chayk hevel v'shus. Of course, he says chukas hagoy. A chayk is something which they're doing which seems to have no reason. If they're doing something which is a chayk, it seems to be a minach of shus, then it is prohibited. Also, shehalvishabazeh mare shurak lehidamis aleim. Because if you're doing that minach hevel v'shus, which the goyim are doing, so why are you doing it? Somebody asks you, why are you doing it? What's the reason you're doing this? It can't be for any logical reason, because there is no logical reason. It must be you're only doing it because you want to emulate the Gentile. Because if not, why would you do such a crazy thing? And this would be the case even if the Yidden haven't deliberately gone out of their way to go against this. He discusses this point a little bit later in point 10, But he says over here, he's saying over here that the two times we have to be worried of chukas agoy is either if it's derech tritis and gaiva, or if it's a minak hevel v'shtus, some crazy, crazy custom which they've done. Uposak kein haramo b'simen kuf ayin ches. Ach haramo nokat b'tam issa inin hasheni kishe levishotam hu b'lei tam v'tayrach tam acher. Te'ikalamecha sheyesh b'mishum ta'atehu emayu v'sheyesh b'shemetz akum. He says that the Ramo, when he quotes the Ma'arik, and he says that if they're doing a minak hevel b'shtus, some crazy sort of custom, that this should be offer. So then he quotes the Ran, and the Ran says, you know why it's offer? If they're doing some crazy action, the reason it's offer is because you can be sure, or you can be almost sure, this comes from some idolatrous practice. If they're doing something which seems to have no tam, it must be from some idolatrous practice. V'humei Aran avayda zorat afyudana shekot shlei ofer tzori ala chukai shal akum b'vorm shal hevel b'teila kulen yesh ben tzorach akum ayin shom. So he says that according to the Ran, it's only a problem of a minak hevel v'shtus. It's only a problem if they're doing this crazy act. If some way you think it might be that it comes from avayda zorat. So what sorts of things are included over here? So I saw something quite fascinating, which I think really the one is certainly referring to. Certainly will be included in the psak of the run. I don't know if you've ever seen in the workplace or when you're with any Gentiles that sometimes if they spill some salt, they do something quite curious. Have you ever seen what they do if anybody spills salt? Right? They as witnessed. They take the salt and then they throw it over their shoulder. Have any of you seen such a thing? Have you seen it? I've seen this. Few people have seen this. Yeah? They throw it over their shoulder. So what's the reason? So I saw somebody asked, why is it you're supposed to throw salt over your shoulder after you spin it? And I did a little bit of research, and it says that superstitions about salt date back to biblical times when salt was a highly prized commodity. It was expensive, crucial in preserving food, and was often used in lieu of currency. Spilling salt was considered almost sacrilegious and left one perilously exposed to the devil's machinations. And therefore, throwing salt over your shoulder is akin to blessing someone after they've sneezed. It's a way of keeping the devil at bay while you're in an especially vulnerable moment. Right? So it says over here the salt is intended to blind the devil. It's a riot, he doesn't wear glasses. So he can't witness your error or keep him from sneaking up on you whilst you're cleaning up your mess. So this minhag hevel v'shtus, mamish minhag hevel v'shtus. Sorry, minhag hevel v'shtus. Yeah, why do they do it? Well, it's a minhag hevel v'shtus. But if you look at it, you scratch beneath the surface, it comes back to avodah zarah. Bit of devil worship going on over here. Another one: people crossing their fingers crossed. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of people saying that, fingers crossed. So where does fingers crossed come from? Of course, it comes from the cross. Yeah, it comes from the cross. And witches, ghosts and other supernatural ghouls were very real to people living in the 16th century. Whenever anything, there'd be any sort of, you know, they were worried about anything, they'd cross their fingers, it says. Yeah, again, avodah zarah. Another one, have you ever heard anybody say touch wood or knock on wood, right? There's people, they knock on wood or they touch wood for luck. What's the reason for this? Right, so again, so some say that it's based on again the wood of the cross, yeah. And others say, look, people were always worshipping trees, and they were always sacred trees, right? We see that in the Torah. People were always worshipping trees, and therefore, by touching the wood, that's supposed to be some sort of a siman toiv, and it's supposed to be for good luck. So here we see so clearly what the Ran is talking about. There's a minak hevel v'shtus, so almost the olim are doing it. So we shouldn't do it. That's a chayk. That's chukas agoy. It's a chayk. Why? Because if you scratch beneath the surface, it somehow ties back to avodah zarah, and that's why it should be avoided. Okay. So if we look in point three, the Rav Moshe qualifies the Ma'arik. So again, the Ma'arik has said it's only going to be osah if it's derech pritzus v'gaiva, or if it's a minak hevel v'shtus. But then he says in point three, "Va'ayt chidish marek kula sha'af be'elu shu b'leitam b'terach ela l'chayk hevel v'shtus enom asurin elef shu eite kedei l'dam mitzalayim v'loy l'teret yidua v'yichichatam et eisefto." So he brings that even these things which a person is doing, which are chukas agoyd, right? It could be that something which is minakel b'shtus, it could be that it's something which is there a pritzus v'gaiva, that there are certain times when that's going to be mutar. And that would be, if you're doing it, you have a particular reason, you have a particular tam in doing this. If you have a positive reason to do this, then you're not doing it in order to emulate the Ummah Sa'olam, rather you're doing it because you have this positive reason. So he said this is only going to be true according to the Ma'arik, but according to the Ran, who's worried about any occult practices, any relationship with Avodah Zorah, that wouldn't be the case. If we just have a look a few lines later, so he says three lines up from the bottom, or mitam ze hiter hakeip hakapa l'roifim af im hu ba'ethen ha'osa b'loyitah k'gainim ho'yu leivshom mishom chukam obeyi sheish v'indid l'frit t'tzniyas v'anova v'mikom lakum kivin shu leivish l'tayanet muta. The Ma'arik in his tshuva, he says that there is a certain cape, a certain garment that very good doctors would wear, and there's this garment doesn't make you into a good doctor. It's just that they've chosen this, that this is the siman that you're a good doctor. Is this considered is this considered chukas agoy for a Jewish doctor to wear this cape, to wear this garment? So he says, look, it could be that it is derech pritzus and derech gaiva. It could be that it is a haughty mode of dress. The Gemara brings elsewhere, you know, there were certain red, bright red garments that were supposed to bring attention, to bring, it was supposed to attract people's attention, and therefore this would be a haughty garment, but this would be something which was a little bit porous, a little bit porous. But nevertheless, since there's a toyelet in wearing this, there's a benefit in wearing this, and what's the benefit? Everybody knows that you're one of these expert doctors, so therefore it's going to be okay to wear it. So even though it is der chutzus v'gaiva, since it's the toyelet, it has a positive reason, therefore it's going to be permitted. And if we rejoin the tshuva at where I've written the number 4, the imkain poshut she'ein shum shemet issa b'stam begodim she'leikshim b'medina zu. Ramesha says that therefore it's poshut that there's no trace of issa wearing the general clothes that people wear in America. Afshegam hanochim leikshim begodim elu, even though the goyim wear them as well. Because we're not worried about the run, there's no particular link to Avodah Zorah by wearing a short jacket and by wearing a different type of hat and by wearing a certain style of shirt. That, there's no link to Avodah Zorah, so there's no problem with the run, the nochush. And also, it's not a minhag hevel v'shtus that they're wearing this. You know, the reason that they're wearing these clothing is there's nothing curious, there's nothing outlandish about it. So therefore, it's just a normal mode of dress, and therefore, el alanoi v'kodema, it's just a way of dressing nice, and therefore, that's absolutely fine. And then in number 5, he says, "V'gam b'leizer in shayas itzam al bushein ochrim." Talking about kol b'nei Yisrael leivshem al bushem elu. Then he says, "Mi oimer shem al bushein ochrim by Yisraelim leivshem b'kam al bushem." Madu olay nemer shem itzchilah him gam al bushi Yisrael. Do they nikba kol mitzchilah an ochrim ba'achakach gam Yisraelim? Do mitzchilah nase gam Yisraelim? He also says that wearing a jacket, wearing the normal sort of Western world clothing, who says that the Goyim made that up? It could be that the Yidden also made that up. It could be at the same time that the non-Jews started wearing it, also the Jews were wearing it. There's nothing specifically Gentile about this form of dress, and therefore he says it's fine. Now in point 6, he brings in the Shittas Hagro, which I mentioned beforehand. V'lochein, asl Hagro b'urov, seif Sifkotn Zayin, Sheponigala Ranu Marik Saramo, the Saver the Bachol Malvisham Yukhun and Ochrim Osa, Gamkein Homasa Begodim, Shayna Lakshan Balav Hochia, Pirish Labishville, Shanokim Lakshan Beilu, Afsha Kodmanochim Lakshan, the Koshkin Beilu of Gunnas Dinazu, the Lakodmanochim Klaal, the Mitchilla Him Gamli Sainu Kuin and Ochim Shereki Issa. The Vilna Gain Chitta is much more extreme than the Rans and the Mariks. Because we said the Mariks said only if it's Priestess and Gaiva, or it's minhag hevel v'shtus. But the Gemara says that you're not allowed to wear anything which is similar to the goyim, unless you would have worn such a thing anyway. If belav hochi, if even without them doing this, or even without them doing this practice, you would have done such a thing anyway, then it's going to be mutar. So he says, so to these sort of clothing, the sort of clothing that's worn in the secular Western world, is very functional clothing. It's a sort of, and it's very nice clothing. Even let's say the tie, which is not necessarily doesn't have such a function, but it's lanoi. Still, it's just something which looks nice, depending on your taste. So So therefore, even according to the Vilna Gaon, who's Machmir, he says, look, this isn't something which is a malbush miyuchad to Gentiles, and therefore it's okay to wear it. We would have worn such a thing anyway. So therefore, he says that certainly a person who came from the Haim and then goes to America would be able to wear such clothing. In point eight, he mentions why was it that they did have such clothing, and he mentions that this was because of the Zahirus Yisera. They wanted to be particularly careful. They wore silk clothing. These kapotas and bekshas were often from silk, and the reason was because they didn't want to have any problems concerning shatnas. Also, to wear a long garment is a symbol of anovos, humility, and you're trying to de-emphasize the body. You're trying not to bring attention to the various parts of your body, and therefore this is a Zahirus Yisera. This is being particularly careful. It's a type of a beged of a Talmud Chacham. And therefore it's a very, very nice thing, but as I've underlined, Rashai Linhig after Kuli Hamokum Shabolashom, now that you've come to America, you don't have to keep up this Zahirus Yisera. So he goes through another few points in his tshuva as well, but this is the main point which concerns us. An example of a nafkamina between the shitta of the Ramo and the shitta of the Vilna Gaon is something which is which we'll be seeing quite shortly in just a few weeks' time. Is a person allowed to put trees and foliage in the shul on Shavuos? So the Ramo brings this minhag in Simon Tov Tzadi Dalet Sif Gimel, and he says that this is a fine thing to do, to have foliage in the shul. It reminds us of Matan Torah, it reminds us of Har Sinai, and as well as that, the Morgan Avram there says that Ba'atzeres Nidbeinu Al Peiros Ilon, and therefore since we're judged about the fruit of the tree, it's a wonderful thing to do. Whereas the Vilna Gaon is brought in the Chochmas Odom Klal Peites Ois Aleph, and he says that it's absolutely offer, because trees are associated with Avedo Zorah. Wherever there was Avedo Zorah, there were always trees that were planted by it, and there are many people who worship these trees, and therefore you're not allowed to. So you see here, the practice, this is all a Shitofon, because according to the Ramah, even if this is something which the Goyim do, Lamaisa, since there's a Toyeles, since there's some benefit which is accruing over here, because you're doing this to remind you of other things, therefore it should be permitted. Whereas according to the Vilna Gaon, yeah, this is not permitted. Even though there's a Toyeles, this is not permitted. And he seems to think that this is not something we would have done ourselves, to suddenly put trees and foliage and plants, be they plastic or real, in the middle of shul. This is not something we would have done ourselves, and therefore he says that's going to be osa. What about jeans? I suppose I have to mention jeans a little bit, because that was in the title of the talk. What about jeans? What would jeans seem to be from here? So I was thinking it through, and I humbly thought that even if you say that it's a little bit priestess and derech gaiva, even if you say that it is, since a person is wearing this l'toyeles, there's a benefit in wearing jeans, and the benefit is they're good, strong, solid trousers that won't wear out probably during your lifetime, so it's very, very cost effective. So therefore it would seem as though it would be permitted to wear jeans, but maybe ripped jeans, I would have thought, right? This is mamish minat hevel v'shtus. Yeah, this is the minhag hevel v'shtus, where these a person goes around with these ripped jeans, and you know, they look, apart from the way that they look, but this is the minhag hevel v'shtus. This is completely ridiculous. Yeah, for them to do such a thing, and therefore, according to the Ma'arik, who's not concerned about Avodah Zorah over here, because I doubt this connects to Avodah Zorah. According to him, I would have thought maybe the ripped jeans should be offer, because the minhag hevel v'shtus, and there's no toyelet, there's no benefit in having these ripped jeans. In fact, I've spoken to a few poskim about it, and we have both extremes. We have Rafalk, and Rafalk wants to say that all jeans are offer. I spoke to him yesterday. He says this is mamish, this is so connected to pritzus that a person shouldn't be wearing any jeans, and even if there's a toyeles, the maisa, there are certain types of jeans depending on the way they're washed and everything. He wants to say jeans are completely out, ripped, no ripped, whether it's, who cares, they're all offer. I spoke to Bain Lichtenstein about it this morning, and he wants to say this is certainly not a, it's not a malbush mechubud, not the sort of thing a person would wear. The moshe, I say, you know, a person going to see the queen, or something like that. It's not a malbush mechubud, but Bain Lichtenstein says that he feels that one cannot say that it's offered to wear jeans. This is, again, this is just an annoyance. This is just something which a person, a certain style that a person wants to wear, and therefore there's a penalty. He wants to, even if it's ripped jeans, it's also not offer, because this is again, it's not a mechubadika mode of dress, but he wants to say that's not offer. Baruch Hashem, we have so many rabbonim and shtots, and Baruch Hashem, I say the chorav, we have our own different rabbonim, so therefore a person can go and ask their own local Orthodox and discuss it with them. But I just wanted to show that there is certainly discussion concerning this point. Okay, a few other general examples that are brought in the Poskim concerning Chukas Hagoy. The Maharam Sheik, who lived in the 19th century, was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer and was Rav in Shust, Hungary. He says it's also to daven in a shul which has a bimah at the front, because this is Chukas Hagoy. That's in Simon Kuf Samachay in Yerodea. because this is the way that the Goyim Dafka do it, they have the altars at the front of their places of worship, therefore it is definitely offer now. In Evan Ha'ez, Simon Pei Zayin, he talks about the problem of having chukas indoors in shul and not under the sky. The Minag Yisrael was always to have it as a simon underneath the sky, and therefore the Umas Ha'olam, they had it inside their places of worship, and therefore he wants to say there's a problem over here of having a chuppah indoors. There's discussion about this in the Poskim. There are hesherim, but there are certainly people who are machmir. The Abia Omer speaks about putting wreaths on graves. He says this is a goyish thing to put wreaths on graves. This was never the Jewish custom. He says according to the Ramah, it's going to be mutah, because there is a toyeles, there is some positive reason in having it. I suppose it brightens up the Beis HaKvoros and reminds us that people are not dead, they've just checked out of this world and have gone to the Olam HaEmes, so there's certainly still life there. Since there is some toyeles, it is mutah. He says it's certainly not the appropriate thing to do, but he doesn't want to say that it's ofta. The Minchas Osher says, he brings from the Vilna Gaon that it could be, according to the Gro, it could be awesome in HaTorah to put wreaths on graves, flowers on graves, because this is not something we would have done anyway. The Minchas Osher also brings the issue of monuments to honour the fallen, right? He says this has no makar in Yiddishkeit. He discusses about Yad HaShalom, whether that was valid, that wasn't valid, but that has no makar in Yiddishkeit, and therefore he questions that. Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal speaks about 1 minute silence. He says, according to the Vilna Gaon, that this should mamish be offer. It comes from Russian funerals. He says, though, that if it's l'toyeles, because it's not to offend the chilonim, the secular Israelis who feel very strongly about it, then certainly, according to the Ma'arik, it should be permitted, and that's okay. I brought over here the Taz in Arachayim, Simon Ches Sif Gimel, who says that even though originally there was a discussion concerning wearing a couple. A yarmulke, Yorei Malka, to fear the king. Even though there was a discussion, is this just a pious act? Is this a mitzvah chassidus or is this halacha? He says nowadays this is certainly halacha, because the non-Jews take their hats off when they sit down, and therefore he says certainly a person should have their kapel on, should keep their kapel on, otherwise it's chukas hagoy. The Melamed Lahayil and the Ramesha Feinstein do bring heterium, Luteras Parnoso. Unfortunately we don't have time to go into them now. But there are heterium, the Torah Parnoso, that are brought there for a person to take their couple off. A person should again ask thereof. Just to conclude with the words of the Chinuch in Reish Samach base, the Chinuch says, "B'hamisrachik mikol hanhagoyseim mikol nimuseihem." A person distances themselves from all of these non-Jewish practices. V'yosim kol libo yomachshavaysov el Hashem. He puts their whole heart and their thoughts to Hashem with mitzvaysov hayikoreis nafshei b'tev tolin. Their soul should dwell only with Tov. The Zar Yerush Oretz, the Chen Yerot, the name of Omen.